In this third lesson, we will see the new possible reading of the Anselmian text of the Proslogion, my own position on it, that will give a new perspective on the whole question about the ontological argument. And this new interpretation is deeply and completely different from the other traditional interpretation of the Anselmian proof. And the difference is derived from, as we have seen, from the not presence of the principle of superiority of existence. In all the other interpretation, this principle is present, is always a premise used in the argument. Instead, in this new interpretation, this principle is not necessary, so is not present. And in my opinion, this interpretation is nearer to the original thought of St. Anselm, because I think that St. Anselm does not really use the principle of superiority of existence. This new interpretation is founded on a new reading of a particular key phrase of the text of the chapter 2 of the Proslogion. So I think there is a proposition, a sentence of the books, of the text, that can be read in two different ways. And if we read it in a way, we have the traditional interpretation, the classical one. If we read it in another way, and now we will see what the way is, we obtain the new interpretation. The argument is very well known, so we arrive directly in the statement, in the key phrase. The proposition is this one, when St. Anselm says, "For suppose it exists, it is God, for suppose it exists in the understanding alone, then it can be conceived to exist in reality, which is greater." In Latin it sounds, "Si enim vel in solo intellectu est, potes cogitari esse et in re, quod maius est." In this sentence there is a grammatic element which switch the interpretation in the two different ways I have said. And this grammatic element is the which, in Latin quod, quod maius est, which is greater. What's the meaning of the quod? When Saint Anselm said, "For suppose it exists in the understanding alone, then it can be conceived to exist in reality, which is greater," what does he means? What does it mean? According to the traditional interpretation, the which, the quod, is referred to only to a part of the sentences, of the precedent sentences. And the part is to exist in reality. The which is referred to existing reality. And in this way, the sentence sounds so. "For suppose it exists in the understanding alone, then it can be conceived to exist in reality, which, to exist in reality, is greater." And if we read the proposition in this way, of course we notice the presence of the principle of superiority of existence, because there is the comparison between existence in reality and existence in the understanding alone. These two kinds of existence are compared, and it is established that the one is superior than the other. But it is the only way to read this sentence? In my opinion, no. In my opinion, this sentence can be read in another way. The which can be referred to all the sentence, all the other sentence. And it sounds in this way. 4. Suppose it exists in the understanding alone, then it can be conceived to exist in reality, which to be conceived to exist in reality is greater. Now, as you can see, if we read the sentence in this way, there is no more the principle of the superiority of existence. There is not a comparison between existence in reality and existence in understanding alone. There is a comparison between two ideas, two conceptions of God. God conceived to exist in reality, and God conceived to exist in the understanding alone. In this way, the comparison is made in the mind. There is not the controversial and the problematic comparison between the sphere of the mind and the sphere of the reality. Existence in reality and existence in the mind, and these two kind of existence compared each other. Here, in this new interpretation, the comparison is between, in the mind, is between an idea of God, the taste idea of God, which think that God exists in reality too, and the atheist idea of God, which think that God exists only in the understanding. These two ideas are conceptually compared. So we can see that one concept, one idea of God, has something more with respect to the other idea, because the theist thinks to God with all God's properties. So in his mind, the idea he has about God includes omnipotence, infinite, God is eternal, and so on, with all the attributes, the classical attributes of God. But the theist includes the attribute to be existent in reality. The atheist position, the fool, the incipient position, excludes this property, this concept in his idea of God. In his mind, when he thinks about God, he thinks all the classical property. So the idea he has includes the property to be omnipotent, to be eternal, to be infinite, and so on. But he excludes the property, the conceptual property, to exist in reality. So his idea of God is diminished with respect to a conceptual property that the taste instead has included. So in a hypothetical level, even the atheist could think about God with real existence. With real existence. So, and on the other hand, the taste for hypotheses could think about God without the property to be existent in reality. Because until we are in the sphere of mind, we are in the understanding, we can make hypotheses and we can compare the different hypotheses each others. So we can see that if the comparison is made in the mind between two different ideas of God, this is enough for Anselmian proof. Because Saint Anselm, at the beginning, has proposed the definition of God in a gnosological way. The Anselmian definition of God defines God as something that than which not greater can be conceived. So the atheist who accepted this definition of God is compelled to think in his mind, to think about God with the idea, with the most, with the greatest idea possible. And the greatest idea is the atheist idea or is the theist idea? Of course, it's the theist idea, because the theist idea, as we have seen, has got a property, has got a concept more. The atheist, in a hypothetical sense, but it has got a property more with respect to the atheist idea. So even the atheist is obliged to admit that conceptually speaking, the idea which has more concepts in itself, which includes more concept, is the theist one, not the atheist. And to respect the definition of God he accepted at the beginning, the Anselmian definition of God, he is compelled to think about God with the greatest idea possible, that is the theist idea, which included the existence in reality too. In this way, Anselm is saying that for the simple fact we have got this idea in mind, so God is really existing. Of course not, but is not this the point? The Anselmian proof, which is a logical reductio ad absurdum, wants to show that the atheist, when accepted the definition of God, and when made, when makes the his declaration of atheism and say there is no God, he is contradicting himself. He must choose, or he accepts the definition of God, the theistic definition of God, the Anselmian definition of God, and so he cannot make his declaration of atheism. Otherwise, he can not to accept the Anselmian definition of God, the classical, the theistic definition of God, but in this way, his idea of God is totally different. So when he says there is no God, he is speaking to a God that is not the classical, the theistic one. So it doesn't care for the theist if an atheist says that God, which is, I don't know, the Zeus, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So we can say that in this new interpretation, the contradiction is a logic contradiction between the definition accepted and the declaration that not respects the definition. And finally, we can say that in this interpretation, existence is considered, first of all, is considered as a property in mind. So, in opposition to what Kant said, that existence is not a real predicate, in this interpretation, existence can be considered a property. Because when we think about it, we are thinking to a property like all the others. In a gnosological way, it's not strange to consider that it is a property. We can do an example, but there are many authors that make examples of this kind. Lobston has made the example of the red card. Imagine we have, let's imagine we have a red card in our hand. The card is red, of course, we see it. But for hypothesis, in our mind, can we think the card is green? Lobston says yes. It changes the color ontologically. It changes the color of the card, of course not. But in our mind, the idea of the card we have changes. There are two ideas in this case. The idea of the card, which has all the other properties, the sides and all the other properties, but in one case we think it as red, in the other case we think it as green. But the examples are very, very numerous. We can think about a tree. We are watching a tree out of a window, and I can think that that tree doesn't exist. It makes disappear the tree, of course not, but Descartes, with his methodical doubt, made this kind of hypothesis. Let's imagine that all the concrete objects we see don't exist. We can do it for hypothesis. It does not change the object in itself, but it changes the idea we have in mind about that object. So, we can make the example of, I don't know, the aliens, the aliens. We can agree about all the property of an alien. It is gray, it has black eyes, it is very, very intelligent, and so on. But the one who believes in aliens' existence, in his mind, includes in his idea of alien, includes the property to be existent. I don't believe in aliens. In my idea of alien, I excludes the property to be existent. These two ideas can be compared, and we can say that one is, conceptually speaking, is greater than the other. Or a literature example, the figure of the there are so many other literary examples, and all of them shows that existence is, when we think about that in our mind, is a property like all the others. So, of course, it is only a presentation of this new interpretation. There are many consequences and many questions can be raised. And it's not the place here to explain all the other consequences. And I invite you to see my thesis, to see the book in which I explain all the other possible consequences. This is only a presentation to say that the usual interpretation of the Anselmian text of the Proslogion can be switched in another way, and we can see a new kind of interpretation with new perspective on the problem of the existence of God.